Hey everyone, we're so glad you're here. I'm Alisa Monjadas. I'm a marketing leader and executive coach.
I'm Courtney Copeland, and I'm an accountability and wellness coach.
And I'm Dr. Mirari Simeon, an activator of talent, HR executive, author, and working mom.
If you're anything like the successful multicultural women we interview on the What Rules podcast, you've learned that you can't do it alone. And we teach women like yourself to outsmart the game to get ahead in your career.
We're really talking about those rules that we grew up with as women and the expectations that have been placed on us.
Our mission is to change the face of leadership at What Rules podcast. As you listen to our talented guests, take note and take action. Go ahead, go and break those rules.
All right, y'all. So before we get started, I would love to ask you while you're listening, if you could leave an Apple review. Every review helps more multicultural women find our show. And we want to be able to support as many women as possible. Thank you so, so much for your review. We really appreciate it. All right, let's get started. So today we're talking about wellness in the workplace, but also wellness in your career. Doesn't necessarily have to just be in the organization, but we'll also talk about what does your wellness look like outside of the workspace, and then how does it impact how you show up at work every day? So starting with how organizations can really prioritize employee well-being, I was actually reading this article from Gallup, and in that article, it said women who report feeling stressed a lot of the day are 46% more likely to be actively looking for or wanting a new job. And so this really stood out to me because to me, that says, hey, organizations, if you don't prioritize your employees' well-being, it's directly impacting your retention, right? Employee retention. So I wanted to have this conversation and ask you, because Mirari, I know you understand this very well, working in HR. This is a hard conversation for a lot of employees to have. So what do you think about this? How do you think employees can address this conversation in the workplace?
Absolutely. Well, I think it goes both ways, right? Mm-hmm. It is the responsibility of the employer, but also the responsibility of the employee. Because one thing that I found is that specifically, whether you want to call it work-life balance, work-life integration, or no matter what it is that is kind of holding you back from achieving your best, is something that we must continue to evaluate. The same way organizations got to continue to evaluate the services and the benefits that they provide to the employees, as a specifically for me, mm-hmm. as a woman, as a mother, as a wife, as a caretaker of elder parents, mm-hmm. I have to continuously evaluate their circumstances and what are my priorities. Because, for example, something that the organization may be offering for me today may work for me today, but tomorrow it may not, depending on my circumstances.
That's so such I love a good
there
point.
Was an article a few years back written by Harvard Business Review, and they said, and I'm quoting them, work-life balance is a cycle, not an achievement. Mm-hmm. So again, I go back to how do we as individuals continue to reprioritize or reassess what our circumstances are so that we are able to have those powerful conversations with the organization. Hey, this is what I need right now at this point in my life. Mm. What do you have to, is there a benefit that I don't know about? Or to my manager, hey, this is what I'm going through right now. These are the circumstances. How can we have a conversation so that I can continue to be 100% engaged at work and 100% engaged in my personal life? It's not a quick answer, but it really goes back to there's ownership by both sides of the equation.
What would you say to someone who wants to initiate that conversation with their employer and kind of reassess what their benefits are or reassess if there's an opportunity for new sponsorship or what if there are new resources that they don't understand, haven't been shared. You know what I mean? Like there's so many different ways that we can be supported?
Yes. So I go back to 100%, and this is a great question to help people be ready for those conversations. Mm. I think sometimes, at least in my experience, sometimes employees come to us with, hey, these are some of the things they need, without having had the opportunity to pause and really ask themselves some of these questions. So here's what I will recommend. First, understand what are the things that are causing you stress. And it could be the workload, but at the same time, is it the culture, or is it the role itself, or is it the energy that you're putting at work and at home? So what can be prioritized or reprioritized, right? And what are the circumstances that are affecting you? So I think understanding those and really delayering those will allow for the employee and the employer to have a better conversation on what is needed, right? So understanding, for me, I'll give you an example. When you first have kids and you send them to daycare, man, they get sick every other day, right? Like, literally, there's nothing you could do. And you're just like, I still have a full-time job. But there are benefits out there, like Bright Horizons, who a lot of organizations use now that I wasn't aware of. And I'm here stressed out because I have nobody to take care of the kids. But I also didn't do a good job at asking what were all the benefits. And Bright Horizons, not a paid advertisement, but just because I use them, the companies typically provide several days that you could take a year that are emergency services. So when there's an emergency and your child is sick, these folks have come to your home and help take care of that child, so that you can either work from home or do the things that you need to do at work, right? Which is very different than some of the other care services that are out there. I didn't know that. But I also think that from an organization perspective, organizations could do a better job when they learn about different life events that people are having.
That's a good
one. They could have done
a
better job at saying, hey, we know you have a life event. Here are some services, some benefits that may or may not help you that you may be interested. So when I think of, hey, organization, you have a role. Also, hey, employee, you have a role. Now, that has changed as my children got older, and now I have elder parents. So now my situation is a little bit different, right? So that stresses me out. So I'm like, what are the things that I need to do? What are the things that I'm currently sacrificing that I don't want to sacrifice? Or what are the things that I need to just pause and do a mental check and understand what is within my control?
Totally.
And what do I need help with outside of what is within my control? So I think understanding that will really help when having those conversations, whether it's a manager, right? Because there's some things that the manager has within their control, or is with the human resources overall, to say, hey, these are some things that I recommend that would be helpful for somebody who's going through this situation, or maybe it may be something that they already have and they could offer. So I go back to, let's do our homework internally so that we can then have powerful, actionable conversations that can move us to that next step in creating a better place, or not even a better place to work, but a better place for us to be in, right? For me to be in as a human being,
it's
mentally
just,
and emotionally and physically.
Yeah, it's not just about a better workplace, but leading a better life overall.
Yes.
Whenever I talk to my
absolutely.
Clients about wellness, it's so important to talk about career, because your career impacts every area of your life. And I always encourage my clients who I work with, when they're figuring out a new career direction or they're stuck in career clarity, I always tell them, you've got to think about yourself as one whole person. Look at your career from a holistic perspective, kind of like what you were just saying. At different stages
Absolutely.
Of life, we need different types of support. At different stages of life, we need different types of benefits. And when you're thinking about having a conversation with an employer, something that's worked really well for me is saying, here is what I need so that I can show up to this space better. And it really is like a positive feedback loop, because it's like, okay, great. If I feel supported outside of work and my cup is filled outside of work, then I go into work more energized. I'm not feeling resentful. I'm more patient. Like, there's so much that goes with it. And I want to touch on something. You said it's important to ask for what you need. And I thought of something, which is, what if somebody doesn't know what they need? I actually had a manager a while ago ask me that. And I didn't know what to say. And you're right. It's on the employee to like really mindfully think through, what is it that you need so that you can move forward? And it took some time and I finally got to it. And I was like, hey, this is the resource that's missing so I can fill up my cup and be better. So how do you identify that, right? Like, what are some of those signs?
Yeah, I don't know if you would agree with it, but this is where I think that mentors come in.
Mm.
Because, I mean, there are times where I think I need something, but what I really need is something else. And sometimes, actually many times, talking to a coach or talking to some friends and even mentors is like, hey, this is where I'm going. Like, this is what I think I need. I don't even know what I need. Yeah. This is how I'm feeling right now. Let's just put it on the table. Like, I haven't had time to think about what I need. I just know that I'm stressed. I know that I'm not doing the things that I love. Yeah. I know that I am just running around 24 hours a day. So I don't even know what I need because I haven't had time. And sometimes it's talking to those mentors, yeah, and talking to friends or just even, hey, can we brainstorm together? Or really investing in yourself and getting a coach.
Yeah.
But I think not knowing what to do is the first step. It's an important step because it's actually realizing, you know what? I don't even have the energy to know to do that homework.
That's
so
honest.
We talk about this all the time. You don't have to do it alone. Especially this, when it comes to stress, mental health, all of these things, this is so important for you not to do it alone. This is actually the time where you want to reach out to other people around you and have these conversations because they can help you see something that you're probably not seeing because you're so stressed and in the moment and in the situation.
100%. And it's how do you recognize like those subtle signs? Sometimes when you're so deeply in it, you just aren't aware of it, especially if you're experiencing burnout. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's because you're on this hamster wheel and you're like, okay, when do I have time to think? What's even happening? You're so in it that it's hard to see how that's impacting things around you. So I don't know. I think when you're considering like, what are those subtle signs? I actually really agree with you. Talk to friends, like talk to a mentor and even ask them like, hey, outside of work, when we get dinner, do you feel I show up in our conversations differently? Is my tone of voice different? Like, have I been sleeping in more than usual? Like you can really like get that feedback.
Yes. And I would say normalize that to your point, because I think sometimes we just, as women, we want to hold it and we want to, you know, we put our cape on and we can do this. Yes, we could do this alone, but at what cost? And is it worth the cost?
No.
Right? So
never.
I would look at it that way. I think the other thing is listen to the signs. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we don't want to listen to our loved ones because it's just like, oh my God, they just want to tell us, right?
That's so true.
Or even to our friends, we're just like, oh my God, can you just leave me alone about that? I would say be open and listen to those signs and to those themes of what people are saying. Somebody at work may be like, oh, Mirari, are you okay? You seem to be in a bad mood lately. And then maybe at home, somebody's like, okay, I'm not talking to you today. Or even your friends are like, not calling you that much anymore because you're not easy to talk to. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, look for those things as well.
Yeah.
Because you're like, this is a theme now. I mean, we're all good about figuring out themes at work. Hey, these are the things that make me feel like that. Well, let's also pause and say, these are the themes I'm seeing. And this is how I'm feeling. Examine your emotions. Why am I so mad all the time? Or why am I so mad when the phone rings and so-and-so calls, right? Like, what is behind all of it? Because it may not be the person that's calling. It could be something under. And I think if we start paying attention to those themes, we may even say, Courtney, this is how I've been feeling. Can we just talk about this? Can we this, help me out here. You may or may not know, but at least we're raising the flag. Like, I know something's wrong too. Let's talk through it. And I can't emphasize enough how important that for us to know our triggers and recognize the themes and really do that self-assessment helps us make better decisions, even when speaking to your employer or to your manager and to the people around you. Because here's what I would say. What if your employer or your manager gives you what you need and that doesn't help, right? Mm. Or not what you need, what you think you need.
Yes.
That's why I think it's so important that we continue to reevaluate.
You just gave so many great examples of like the subtle signs to really reflect on. The one that caught my ear was, why am I so mad when this person calls? And you think that it has to do with the person, and it has nothing to do with that person. It has to do with so many other
experience.
It has to do with so many other little triggers. So like, what about when you're on the other side of that, right? You have the hard conversations, you gain the awareness, you are ready to take action so that you can improve your wellness, then the discussion of boundaries comes up. The fun conversation of boundaries. Mm-hmm. So maintaining wellness when it comes to our overall lives, but especially how it impacts our career, I think a lot of people struggle with setting boundaries because they feel really guilty. But struggling to set mm-hmm. those boundaries, or if you don't set those boundaries, it actually makes everything worse. Like it negatively impacts your wellness and all the work that you built up to that point to have the hard conversations, ask for help. It will kind of unravel if you don't set those boundaries. So I think it's important to talk about, like, how do we set them to prevent burnout?
100%. And I would add even something more, because I was talking to a friend and coaching her on this. Mm. And you said something that's really important. One, you said you're going to take action. If you say you're going to take action on those boundaries, you have to take action. Now, if you know that you are not as good as setting those boundaries and keeping to them, whether it's in the workplace or at home, depending where they are, ask for other people to support you. I'll give you an example. I was talking to somebody about it this week. They are a servant leader too high of an extent, right? So mm-hmm. she handles many projects in her current employer, and everybody loves her because she says yes to everything, mm-hmm. right? And her leader has told her, hey, I need you to set boundaries. Now, the issue comes when I asked her, hey, so what have you been doing? She's like, well, when I said no to Courtney, they went to my boss, and my boss is like, oh, Courtney, but can't you do them a favor, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where I said, now my counsel to her is like, now you need to have a conversation with your leader and say, okay, you've asked me to put these boundaries in place so that I can make sure that, number one, I have a work-life balance or whatever we want to call it nowadays, and I'm able to perform at a higher level with this other task you ask. But when I say no, you're undermining my response and the authority that you've given me. So those are conversations that we also need to have with our leaders to say, this is where, and what I coached her is, you need to go and talk to your leader and say, this is where I need your help yeah. so that I can do A, B, and C better mm-hmm. for the organization. And go from that perspective and help hold each other accountable. Because there's one thing when you set your boundaries and you break them yourself, but there's another thing when you ask somebody to help you and they're breaking them too and not helping you. So I think that's and it's real, it's happened. Like, it's happened this week with somebody in another organization that I was coaching. So I'm thinking, how do you hold yourself accountable, right? Yeah. And how do you help your leader help you hold yourself accountable? And in some cases, how do you coach your leader? And you do, to say, hey, this is how you can help me make sure that the boundaries that I set forward that are going to help support the objectives of the organization it's going to have a better ROI for all of us in return, right? So I think it's important. And I don't know if you will coach them differently, but that was kind of my advice or my mentorship, because it was more a mentor, not a coaching.
I love how in the weeds you're getting with all of this. Like, full circle, you're touching on how the conversation of wellness can come up in so many different ways in the workplace. Absolutely. Whether it's the phone call outside of work, if it's having that discussion with the manager, if it's having a discussion with a mentor, having the discussion with ourselves, which can be the hardest conversation. Let's be real. It has to start with us. And actually setting those boundaries. So something I coach people on is how to say no. And how to say no so that they can prevent burnout from happening. So here's one example. Specifically, how to say no professionally. That one's really challenging for people. Here's what you could do. You can say something like, I'd love to help, but my current workload will not allow me to give this attention right now. Or this current workload won't allow me to give the attention this task deserves. And I think if you frame it in a way that's, hey, I want to be able to do this really well, but right now I can't. And it's coming from a place of I care about myself and I care about this task, this project, whatever. I care that it's executed well. I think that's generally very well received because it's not a flat out, nope, I just don't want to. It's a no with a purpose. And the clients I've worked with have tried that out with their managers and loved it.
Yeah, and I think it's also inviting them, say, hey, can you help me reprioritize what I currently have on my plate? Mm-hmm. Because now you're inviting them to be part of the solution.
Yes.
So that you could close the gap and really help answer that for them. I love that. And, you know, I agree. I've been saying it, right? It has to start with us. But I would say it has to start with us as leaders, too, because there's many multicultural women who are leaders. And what I would say to them is, as leaders, we need to also understand number one, be empathetic, but then number two, understand the resources that the organization has, right? So let's not just, it's great, I'm HR. Absolutely. If you don't know, send them to HR, right? Because we want to help our employees. But as a leader, you don't need to know all the details, but you need to know, hey, these are some of the resources that you have. But as a leader, I will also educate myself. And I do this maybe outside of work, or I read articles or things like that. How can I, as a leader, help my team when it comes to providing resources that are to make sure that there's mental wellness, and how do I engage them differently? So I would say we need to educate ourselves as leaders. How do we help our teams? Because I can't say that enough. Being a leader is not just about driving objectives and driving results. It's also about how do we help our people grow? How do we mentor them? How do we support them so that they can have a more productive and effective time at work, so that when they're at home, they could worry about the things that are at home? So there's a few things that I believe, and I'm going to leave this on there. We could put it in the show notes, but there was a 2024 State of Workforce Mental Health Report that talked about some of the things that organizations can do. And there were six of them that they mentioned. One is organizations should make sure that their mental health strategies embrace a full spectrum of needs. And what do I mean by that? I mean, anything is possible. You and I just talked about several different ones on how they show up at work. So they need to do that homework and understand that. I would make sure that they expand this support into life events. So depending on the life event, if the company is aware of it, make sure that the employees know those resources are available. Not just put it on the website and expect for people to read it. That's not the reality, right? No. As leaders,
like you
gotta
said, people
build trust.
People struggle to do the homework. Sorry, I just wanted to make the plug there. You said earlier, it's really hard for people 100%. To do the homework. They don't have the mental capacity. If they're already burnt out, if you just put it on a website, they're probably not going to read it. No. So yeah, keep going
on
that
point. You don't know what you don't know. And as organizations, we have so much reporting analysis now that we know when somebody has a life event. Most companies would know when somebody has a life event and they can provide something. But I would say as a leader, whether you're a multicultural woman, as a leader or one asking for the support, build trust. Build that trust with your leader and with your direct reports. Mm-hmm. Because, and you talk about this a lot, Courtney, having just a safe space to talk about some of the things that are vulnerable in the personal life or that they may be struggling with, family or whatever it may be, a life event themselves, that psychological safe space is so critical in building that trust. There are so many other things, and you all can look at it in the show notes, but what I can't emphasize enough of building that safe space and that trust, because then we could come up with a solution together. Mm-hmm. Versus I need this and you can't provide it. It's more, how can we help you, right? There may be things that they can't because it's my personal, but there may be some resources that they could refer me to.
So we're thinking about holistic wellness, honestly. Your career is a part of it. How you have those conversations is a part of it. And sometimes people think it's my job's fault, right? If you think about anything in life, if you're dating or if you're married, the person you spend the most time with or wherever you spend the most time doing anything, it's so easy to blame that person, that environment, wherever you are most on whatever circumstances you have in your life. And sometimes, I mean, if you really pause and think about it, you can say, oh, I feel this way because of my job. But what if it has to do with the balance outside of work? How are you filling up your cup outside of work? How do you spend your time outside of work? And so taking it off of just from the organization side, what are you doing after work? How do you spend your mornings? What do you do on the weekends? Like, those things really matter. And what I've learned in my personal life, also with the clients I work with, it makes such a big difference. What you do outside of work can make your day job so much more bearable. And the people who once said, I'm quitting my job, that's the solution, just changed what they did outside of work. And then everything transformed.
You know, I'm sure there's probably other resources out there right now, but I read this book like 20 years ago, and it's called The Corporate Athlete. Mm. And it's all about how you manage your energy, not
Love
your time.
That.
And it goes to your point on what are all those, wherever your energy goes, all the emotions and all that is going to flow to it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I may have talked about it before, but there's different energies, right? It's your mental, physical, spiritual energy. It's your, there was another one and now I'm forgetting, but it's how you manage your energy that it's really going to help determine how you deal with stress. How do you deal with the ongoing demands of both work and your personal life. But it is absolutely right. If you're getting out of work and you're doing things that are going to unintentionally cause more stress, right? Even the people that you're hanging out with, we talked about this. Yeah. Oh, mentally and emotionally, those are the other ones. People that you're hanging out with that are negative. It only takes one person you could be the most happy person. It only takes one person to really completely shift your energy to become negative. So if that is the people you're surrounding yourself with, it's going to impact the way you feel. And guess what? It's going to impact your mental health, your stress, and everything else around you. Something as simple as the people that you're around, something also as simple as the way that you speak to yourself can cause and increase the amount of stress that you're currently carrying. So how you spend your energy will be critical to really living a more fulfilled life at work and in your personal space.
Work-life balance doesn't fully exist because at different seasons of life, there are different demands, right? And so I think the balance isn't necessarily about, oh, everything is just maintained at the same level. It's, hey, in Q1, my priority is this fitness goal outside of work. In Q2, it's a new hobby. It's in like, right, like things can just fluctuate and change over time. And that's a part of energy management. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It's less about
absolutely
the balance, the word balance. I think that the word balance can feel very unattainable to people, but it's the energy management.
Yep.
That's where the truth lies.
It's absolutely, it's how you manage your energy. And I think, you know, you only have 24 hours in a day. How you manage that energy is critical, because managing energy is also how you spend in your downtime.
Yeah. So I actually do a lot of energy management, and something I thought about as an example, I noticed a dramatic difference if I worked out before work versus after work. If I work out before work, I would say I am a morning person, but I've also trained myself to be a morning person because from an energy management perspective, I was so much more energized at work if I exercised before. And the tasks that would typically, frankly, piss me off in the morning did not make me as upset. They didn't make me as upset because I was just more patient. I felt more balanced. And then I got more done. So it's also thinking about, like, what are those pockets of the day that boost your energy? Something that's so simple that honestly everybody listening can think about. When do you take your lunch break? Like that, I remember I was working a job that, this was years ago, that just really wasn't for me. I felt like a tiger in a cage. My energy constantly felt depleted. And it wasn't anything to do with, you know, my boss or my team. I loved them. It was more so because that job wasn't right for me. It didn't allow me to exercise my uniqueness and my strengths and the things that are really good for me. So what I noticed when I was working that specific job is I became increasingly irritable. And it had nothing to do with anyone else other than the fact that it wasn't for me. And so I was like, okay, I'm not quitting right now. How do I manage the situation I'm in? And I started playing around with when I take my lunch breaks. For me, it was, let me exercise before work. While I have that energy, it carries me through the day a little bit longer. I'll take a later lunch break because then pushing through the end of the day feels a lot more tolerable. It's the smallest things. It's the smallest things that are dominoes.
What I would remind people is energy comes from the four main sources in humans. It's the body, the emotions, the mind, and the spirit. And what I would challenge every listener is to change one thing, to do one thing differently out of those four energy sources that as humans we produce energy from. And start with one thing and seeing how that changes and how that makes you feel. And that's exactly what you said, right? You started playing around with your workout time. Change one thing. And then you started playing around with, oh, my lunch time. Mm-hmm. Because there are some situations that we're just not going to be able to get out.
Yeah.
Whether it's work, whether it's family members. You know, they're family members, right? You can't just, some of them, you just can't, you know, they're there forever. So how are you managing your energy around that and preparing yourself for those situations? Because it will help you emotionally. And you and I both heard, and I'm sure everybody's heard about it, that your emotional intelligence is huge, because it is how everything else around it, you know, how you react to everything around you. So being able to manage that and really just change one thing on where the energy sources come from for human beings,
test it out, try it, and see, you know, and see how it goes. And definitely let us know, tag us, and tell us how you've seen your life changing depending on where you're spending your energy.
100%. An emphasis on the try one at a time. It can feel like such a burden, and it can feel so heavy to make these kind of changes. Starting with one makes this whole process so much more manageable. So much more manageable. And then you'll start to notice how everything falls together. It becomes very seamless, but start with one. Just one. I'm excited to hear what people try.
Just one.
We'll keep learning from each other, right? There are certain seasons where I'm like, you know what? You just gave me an idea. I forgot that 3 years ago I was playing around with my exercise times. Maybe I should do that again. Okay. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what people say.
And, you know, the last thing that I would say is managing your energy. Yes, it comes from those four sources, but it's different for all of us.
Yeah.
So what may work for Courtney, what may work for me, may not work for you. So I would say, I know you're saying, okay, one more thing. I just told you, I'm listening to this because I'm stressed and I can't handle it. And you're giving me one more thing to do. But what I would say is, spend the time figuring out what works for you, because it is different for all of us depending on that chapter in your life you're going through. And give yourself the permission to change your mind or change it. Or you don't have to live with this. It could change today and it could probably change next week. And that's okay. But give yourself permission to reassess, to really understand what you need, because this is all about you. This is all about your mental health, your ability to live a life of freedom and feel that you can work and do your personal things and just be great at everything that you do. The reality is we may not be great at some things, and that's okay, but give yourself the permission, because something as simple as saying, you know what, I'm okay with not being great at having my house clean every day, but I know I'm going to be great at being present for my children, right? Whatever it may be, you could change those every day, by the way. Today, I may be like, my house is going to look the best. And you know what? My children are just going to have to figure out something else. I don't know. You know, I'm being funny about it, but the reality is you could change those every day. Give yourself the permission. This is about how you spend your energy, so that you can show up the best to yourself and to those around you.
Want more advice on how to break the rules and outsmart the game to advance your career? Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and our website, whatrulespodcast.com, for more insight from our guests and hosts. And join our community on LinkedIn, where we discuss rule-breaking strategies for multicultural women. What Rules is a project of Zara Consulting and is supported by the amazing team at Stories Bureau. This episode was produced by Alexandra Uresta, with editing and music supervision by Joshua Ramsey, and was engineered and mixed by Tim Ballant. Our podcast cover was designed by DeLeon Creative. Visit whatrulespodcast.com for more info, upcoming events, and all episodes of What Rules, including video, and make sure to give us a follow.